Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm just going to describe briefly what's contained within the Emigrant Information Pack. So through the Emigrant Information Pack, we hope to provide people considering emigration with practical information that will help them to overcome the challenges that they will inevitably face when they emigrate. We've included sections on each of the main receiving destinations. In each section, we've included information about visa and immigration requirements. We've included advice on obtaining accommodation, employment, and healthcare, and we've included contact details for relevant organisations. In addition to these practical realities, we've tried to highlight the human side of emigration. And to that end, we've included accounts of interviews with numerous emigrants, with families of people who have emigrated, and with people who work abroad to help Irish emigrants. We're very fortunate to have here today, as Martin mentioned, Mr. Stephen Cummins, who is one of the family members we interviewed. And Stephen will speak about his daughter's emigration and the effect that this has had on their family. The Emigrant Information Pack also contains resources for use in parishes, including homily notes and prayers for emigrants. I'd just like to take this opportunity to express my thanks and the thanks of the Irish Bishops Council for Emigrants to all the people who kindly contributed to this project. So I will now pass you over to Stephen, who will speak to you briefly about his personal experience. Thank you.
Bishop Kirby, Reverend Fathers, and others, little did I ever believe, and even going back 3 or 4 years ago, that I would be standing here today at the launch of an emigration pack, other than just somebody sitting in an audience looking at it. But unfortunately, it has come home, literally, to my own home. I got married in 1980. My eldest son was born in 81. My daughter Julie was born in 1984. And my youngest was born in 1990. So I have 3 children. Like a lot of other Irish parents, I believed they were going to stay in this country. Fortunately, the eldest is here and working, married. And the youngest chap has just finished college. With a view, taking a year out, with a view to, I think, about maybe doing masters next year. But I want to focus on my daughter, Julie, in the middle, who about 2.5 years ago had to leave this country. Like many a father and mother, we saw Julie leave secondary school and go to college. She always wanted to be a nurse, even in her summer work, was always associated with nursing in some way, helping out in nursing homes and whatever. And there was always a message coming back to us from those with whom she worked that this girl was a potential nurse and that she was taking the right road. About halfway through her 4 years in DCU, she announced one day at home that one of her tutors had said, you know, things are so good in this country at the moment. Not alone will you have work, but you might even have a choice of what hospital you want to work in. Well, I think Julie bought it. I definitely know my wife and I went with that because that's what we wanted to hear. Within 2 years, this country had turned itself upside down. Not alone did Julie not have a prospect of work. She had a choice, okay, and the choice was maybe some agency work or unemployment. As a father, my immediate reaction was to make sure, as best I could, to see this girl settled. And I'm to blame in some ways for her going away. Reading a Sunday newspaper, saw an advertisement for nurses in the UK. It was very immediate. The interviews were on the following Tuesday here in Dublin. I cut out the piece of the newspaper, handed it to my daughter, saying to myself, well, I won't push this, but she might or may not be interested. I remember that evening seeing it sitting in her handbag in the kitchen, and I said to myself, well, at least she hasn't thrown it away yet. On the Tuesday, she went for an interview. And on Thursday, she was offered a contract. And I think suddenly, a document needing signature, a document asking for her baptismal certs, her college qualifications and whatever, suddenly brought the reality of what this all was going to mean for me, for my wife, and for Julie herself. And yes, within 2.5 months, she was gone. It was very, very swift, sudden in many ways, and my wife and I, Mary, were thrown back on ourselves in, you know, what are we going to do, how are we going to deal with this? And I remember it was me that brought Julie to the airport. There was no way Mary was going to come to that for that movement. So it was poignant, obviously very, very heartbreaking. and it hasn't been approved. She has been home. We've been to the UK to see her. But each time, I think it's getting worse. I don't think it's getting any better at all. Next month, please God, Mary and I are going off to spend a few days with her. She was home before Christmas. And it's amazing how even the simple things of around Christmas and normality had changed. Like, our country is changing so much. I remember on our last visit home, just before Christmas, chatting to her one evening, she said, "Dad, have you noticed the number of shops in the town that are closed?" And I said, "Tell me, what are you talking about?" And she started to describe by name the streets and the shops that were closed. And it suddenly struck me that I was living in this town, and I was passing these shops, and I wasn't even noticing the fact that the blooming things were closing around me. And it was a stark reality again of, I suppose, the situation that we as a family find ourselves in, which is not in any way unique. My God, far be it from me to think that I'm standing here today representing just one family. My whole circle of friends, people who got married around the same time as me, we have had so much in common over the years. A lot of it to do with family. Last night, no later than last night, a friend of ours arrived with a birthday present from my wife and said to me, "How is Julie?" And I just started to talk the fact that we were going to see her shortly. This lady now has two sons abroad, one in Canada and one in Australia. And in the past, our conversations used to be about what exam they were doing or whose 21st birthday party they were going to next. A kind of a vibrancy of conversation. Last night, the conversation was somber. That's the word I would use. That we were describing, you know, how are they? And then the next question was, no, how really are they? In other words, what story are you hearing from abroad, that they've got work, or they were doing fine mum, or whatever? But what is the real story? How lonesome are they? What are they coping with? And how good are they at coping? And this lady said to me too last night, and it's something that Father Alan mentioned earlier. She said, "I dread the Skype." She said that stupid thing. She said, it's a digital image of my son. It's not the same thing. It's not the real thing. And she said, if it had only break down. So I would agree with her. My daughter's email and her whole computer system went wallop some months back. And I didn't say to my wife at the time that I was glad, because I couldn't look at the television or screen or computer screen and see my daughter. That's not the girl I know. So hopefully next month, as I said, I will see the physical presence again. But I'm dreading it. I mean, even talking about it now, I'm dreading the thoughts of coming back from it again, because a piece of me will stay with her in England. As I said, I'm conscious of all the people around me, my friends, my neighbours and whatever, that are dealing with this. And look, let's say for what it is, there's a grief and loss process here, folks. The loss of a person that is, in my case, my daughter, who was so vibrant, so personable, all the things that are making her get on so well abroad, if you like, are both a good thing and a bad thing. Fortunately, as I said, she's doing well. But here's another sad part of it. She spent 4 years in college in Ireland doing a degree to become a nurse. And when she was employed abroad, not alone did those who employ her, but the people with whom she worked, say, "The training this girl has got is phenomenal. It's better than what they're used to." So there's a sad thing, that we've trained these people to a very, very high degree, and now they're not even working in our country. As a father, I invested a lot in my daughter, as a lot of fathers and mothers have. I put her through college, no problems with that. But in a psychological way, I had invested in a future as well. I could see this girl in a position of work in Ireland, coming home at weekends as she did when she was in college, settling down, getting married, having children, giving me grandchildren or whatever. That's on hold. I daren't say it's gone. I'm terrified to say that it's gone. And it's on hold at the moment, with a view that hopefully in the near future, the not too distant future, things might turn around. And I think if there were jobs available in this country, if the moratorium, for instance, even within nursing, and in psychiatric nursing particularly, was removed, there's a hope, as far as I'm concerned, that my daughter might come home. But I think, too, one of the things will be that she will come home eventually, but a better person for what she has experienced, for the hardship that she has experienced, because she has experienced something of the better and worse of life at the moment in going to the UK, in trying to find accommodation, in dealing with the issues that were involved there. She has survived that. She has learned from it. She's a stronger person for it. And I hope that when she does come home, that this country and her parents will be proud of her. Thank you for this.
Very much, Stephen, for your very personal, very profound comments. And I think we'll all benefit from you sharing those with us today.